The gospel text from last week was about the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus miraculously produces enough food for 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. At the end of the story, he gives the specific instruction to collect the leftover bread so that nothing may be lost. After the miracle, Jesus crosses the lake to Capernaum, and several people from the crowd follow him. This is where our story from this week picks up. The first line of dialogue in the scene comes from the people addressed to Jesus. "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus' answer shows that he has no interest in making small talk, but he gets right to the point. "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life." His point is this: the kind of bread they seek is a good thing, but it is not a lasting thing. The bread that they ate yesterday filled them, but it will eventually rot and spoil. It nourishes for a time, but it is momentary, temporary, transitory. It almost goes without saying that there are many examples of things that do not last in this world. So today, I offer one that is present to my own context. As chaplain and teacher in a middle school and high school, I have the opportunity and the privilege of ministering to the next generation, a responsibility and a role that I deeply value and to which I feel called. Much of the time, my students give me reason to hope for a bright future filled with positive possibilities. There are other times, however, that my students are prophetic witnesses to a future world that we do not desire, but that can still be changed. One of these prophetic warnings, a pattern of behavior found in young adults across this country, is smartphone and social media use among teens. It's a pattern linked to detrimental mental health outcomes. In addition to increased depression and anxiety, high levels of cell phone use can negatively affect attention spans. It's been shown that teens who spend significant time on their phones struggle with concentration and focus. I won't bother you too much, but a couple of sobering facts. Studies suggest that the average watch time for a TikTok video may range from a few seconds to 15 to 20 seconds. The average time spent viewing a single Instagram post is around 1 to 3 seconds, as is Facebook. This short engagement time is due to the nature of the platform, where users scroll quickly through their feeds, often stopping only if a post catches their attention. The social media platform Snapchat encourages quick interactions, with snaps disappearing after they've been viewed, a time that ranges from 1 to 10 seconds. At this point, we might be thinking, doesn't every generation of youth have something about them that signals moral decline in the older generation? Whether that be rock and roll in the 50s and 60s or the flapper fashion in the 1920s. Isn't it common that there is an older generation worried about the moral degeneration of their youth? While the answer is likely yes, I want to look deeper to view the challenge posed by social media, not as a cultural fad, but as a uniquely spiritual challenge. The 20th century French philosopher Simone Weil developed the idea of attention as a spiritual idea. Attention for Vail is not first and foremost a psychological or mental idea, but in a deep, focused engagement with its object. Whether the object be a person, an idea, or a task, directing our attention to this object is a virtue. It requires self-discipline to maintain a sustained and steady focus. It requires that we take an attitude of compassion and empathy, asking us to really consider something outside of ourselves, setting aside our ego to fully appreciate the reality of another. So from this, we can see how social media actively reverses this moral posture. By scrolling through images, videos, and posts, spending several seconds on each one, only then to proceed to the next, a person is unlearning how to pay attention. So, we've said that Jesus urges the people to seek bread that endures to eternal life. Endures is a common way to translate this Greek word, mono, in most English translation, but one biblical scholar I read frequently gives the most literal clunky translation, which I really appreciate. Endures is more accurately defined as life, age, during. The writer of John uses this connotation of the word more than any other gospel writers. This scholar continues that we often think of enduring as without end, like something that we have now that goes on forever in both directions, at the beginning and at the end. But this more Greek way of thinking of enduring as without end is different than the way that John uses it here. In John 1, at Jesus' baptism, we're told twice that the Spirit remained or endured on him. In chapter 11, we find it in the language about Lazarus' death. Lazarus is raised from death. It is not simply his eternal soul that is reacquainted with his previously dead body, something that was now that continues. Martha awaited resurrection for him to live again. Jesus goes on to say, I am the resurrection and the life. This is different than the Greek idea of the immortality of the soul, something that was once and that then continues. This idea of life, age, enduring is connected with the Jewish concept of resurrection. In chapter 15, where we find the vine and the branches, endured is found everywhere, describing the relationship between the resurrected Christ and the disciples. So this odd phrase, life, age, during, holds a lot of meaning. It suggests resurrection. It suggests the enduring relationship between the Father, the resurrected Son, and the Spirit. Christ, the resurrected bread, nourishes, sustains, and lasts. Life, age, during. Using Vail's idea, God offers us the attention of the resurrected Christ. God sent God's Son to offer us this bread, that when we eat it, our satisfaction will endure, as those who have been loved by the resurrected Christ. Please excuse the sudden subject shift, but I couldn't help bringing my reflections for this week's gospel into conversation with the recent assassination attempt on the former President Donald Trump's life. As someone who tries to see God at work in the world, in the wake of this event, I tried to reconcile my personal feelings with my deep moral convictions, with my beliefs about God. There are many questions and many layers of questions in the wake of this event. Did God actually intervene so that the bullet only skimmed Trump's ear? But if God did do this, did God also know that the bullet would end up striking a firefighter? Doesn't the God we believe in have the ability to save Trump's life while also protecting everyone else's life that day? Looking for answers to these questions, I found deep solace in an article by ethicist Brandon Ambrosio, in which he concludes that while unsettling, it is simply true to say that our world sometimes happens randomly. Our belief in God doesn't commit us to the belief that while God has the power to make things turn out well, he only rarely chooses to make it so. An omnipotent God who intervenes sometimes to decide elections but sits back while entire species go extinct. Ambrosio concludes his article saying, in a world that God has created, in a world that God loves, things go right and things go wrong. God does not override the bad luck at play in the world. In the world that God has created, folks are unlucky and folks are lucky. Some people win the lottery, some people are struck dead by lightning. Most of us fall somewhere in the middle. Neither the best thing nor the worst thing has happened to us. God, in fact, is the one who, perhaps with bated breath, watches everything unfold, the good, the bad, the in-between, in the world that God is crazy about and refuses to give up on. Ambrosio ends with a message of hope. While it is true that there are random, tragic events over which we have no control, many of us have power, opportunity, and the ability to shape and change the world. We are able to work within the randomness and the uncontrollable to create a world that we want. This is where theology comes to life for me. Because when the resurrected Christ say that he will offer bread to us that endures to eternal life, or that is life age enduring, he is calling on us to take part in the good movements of God in this world. We have some measure of control over where we divert our attention, over how much we and our families use social media. We can foster relationships that endure over those that can be accepted or rejected with the swipe of a finger. And perhaps, if we do our very best, we can offer to a world of snap decisions and knee-jerk reactions the spiritual virtue of our attention. I wonder how our political and cultural landscape might shift if we learned how to bring attention to our political conversations. Maybe we would have the patience to endure listening to another person with different political opinions. Maybe the willingness to abide with another person would help us to have hard conversations across difference. Perhaps we would begin and end conversations in ways that respect the dignity of the other person. If we begin by bringing our empathetic, compassionate attention to our conversations, I wonder what kind of changes we might see. Maybe we would be on our phones less and playing with one another more. Maybe we would have more conversational courage, the courage to have hard but compassionate disagreements with the people who are closest to us. And maybe, just maybe, we might resist crafting a world where a 20-year-old with an assault rifle tries to murder a politician that half the country hates, where people express disappointment that the bullet didn't just do the trick. Perhaps we can bring to a world such as this a resurrected Christ, whose empathy is not fleeting. It is not momentary. Perhaps we can offer a compassion to one another so strong that we find the power to reach across the oceans of polarization between us. The resurrected Christ offers to us a bread that endures. As we come to this table today to eat this bread and drink this cup, we are reminded that the relationship offered to us in Christ's death and resurrection is the only bread that endures. As those of us who have been baptized in remembrance of Christ's death and resurrection, may we always be looking for the bread that endures and for ways to offer it to a world deeply hungry for it. May it be so. Amen.